Hey guys, it's Michelle from the future. So we were told on Twitter that we made a mistake in our most recent episode, the one you're about to listen to. So in it, we mention that Kendrick Johnson's shoe was found in a puddle of blood, but had nothing on it. When in fact, it was actually old paint and there was a little bit on the shoes. So we didn't want to spread any false information, just want to correct ourselves. And in the future, please let us know if we mess anything up so we can go ahead and fix it again. But yeah, we're sorry that we made this mistake. We're going to be more thorough about our research in the future, make sure it's not outdated information. And I'm going to be going ahead and editing that part of the episode out, so if it sounds choppy, that's why. Okay, thank you. Hey guys, it's Michelle.
Leah.
And Brandy.
And this is Spooky Shit and Tales from the Beyond. So if you didn't notice from that, Brandy's quality is not the best. Brandy, take it off. Explain what's up.
A coworker tested positive for that Rona.
That Rona.
So, you know, I got to take the precautions and not, since I was exposed, not expose anybody else, even though I don't know if I'm positive or not. I'm pretty sure I'm not.
More unfortunately for me, I don't get to see your puppy for another week.
So. But thank you, Brandy, for being responsible. We appreciate you.
Before we start, we wanted to give a shout out to somebody.
A very special listener. You're probably listening
You're gonna freak her out by that description.
I was gonna say, hopefully she's listening.
A very special someone.
Hopefully she's listening now and she didn't get tired of us already.
I know.
Imagine she stopped listening.
She's like, actually, never mind. So, we wanted to give a shout out to Jennifer from, oh my god,
Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Why did I not know how to pronounce Tulsa? I was like, ugh.
Damn.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you for listening.
We appreciate you. And we honestly, at this point, thought that it was just our mom and a couple of our friends listening. So, it's nice to hear some feedback.
If you want to join the podcast, just email us back, You're welcome.
Yeah. We need a fourth co-host, so 3 isn't enough.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about suspicious deaths. I'm going to be starting it out with Lavina Johnson.
And then I'll be talking about Kendrick Johnson.
And then I'm going to talk about Tamala Horsford.
So, trigger warning for everyone, because parts of the story are not pleasant. There's mentions of sexual assault, and they're not good. Also, another heads up that some of the articles I read confused me about the order in which everything happened. So if I mention anything in the wrong order, my bad. It's just like half the articles were like from her dad's point of view and the other half was like from the Army's investigations point of view. So I couldn't really figure out what was happening when.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to be talking about the death of Lavina Johnson. Lavina Johnson was born on July 27th, 1985. Shout out to Cade. Remember his birthday? 727? I don't know why he would always talk about it.
Really?
It's our friend from Northern California.
Shout out Cade.
So, she was born in Missouri to parents Linda and John. Her dad, Dr. John Johnson. I love that name.
Oh.
He served in the Army for 3 years before going to college and earning a doctorate in psychology. And just remember his name because I'll mention him a lot.
How could you forget his name?
John Johnson. I know, I love it. Him and his wife also both had civilian jobs and troop support for the Army. So they were very involved with the Army.
They seemed very busy, too.
Oh, yes. Lavina was one of 5 children.
Oh.
So she had a lot of siblings. So she was an honor student, and her father describes her as a very disciplined child. She played the violin and wanted to be a movie producer someday. She was the oldest girl of her siblings, and despite her dad being able to afford paying for all of them to go to college, she wanted to go to college in California. So she was like, I don't want to stress you guys out too much. I'll help you out, and I'll pay for myself. All her life, people had compared Lavina to her dad by saying how they looked alike, acted alike, and thought alike. So this definitely influenced her decision to join the Army as a way to pay for college.
Oh, so was she planning on being enlisted and taking online classes or doing it afterwards?
After, because, you know, I think that...
You get the GI Bill.
Yeah, people... Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means, honestly.
Oh.
But it's definitely a thing where people, advertise, and trying to enlist high schoolers and stuff and being like, oh, but you can make all this money and then you could go to college after.
Yeah, it's because after you get out of being in the military, you get this thing called a GI Bill, which is pretty much the military's paying for you to go to school for a few years.
Yeah.
Unless you get dishonorably discharged, then I think they usually take that away.
Oh, okay, none of that. So even though they were like involved in the army, her parents were not happy about this decision. Her father blamed recruiters going to high schools to convince teenagers that joining the military is the best decision they can make, which agreed. Don't go to like fucking 17-year-olds. And I like been seeing there's like an army video game team or something. I don't remember what they're called on Twitter. And they like post like anime stuff and try to act like all cutesy. And I'm like, do not try to get these teenagers thinking that this is like a fun, cute anime thing.
Oh, yeah. They do that. And then they try to make it seem, or the kids probably think it's going to be something like Call of Duty when it's not at all like that.
Exactly. So, despite this, they knew that Lavina, if she made up her mind, she fucking made up her mind. You can't change it. And, like, as a teenage girl, I was probably the same. So.
I was going to say that was Michelle.
Yeah,
Michelle was a one-track road. If she wanted something, she would do it or constantly talk about it.
How do you think I got in homeschool, bitches? So she enrolled right after graduating high school and was deployed to Iraq and stationed in Balad. Fuck, I didn't Google how to say it.
Oof.
I think it's Balad, which is a city north of Baghdad. So she called home almost every day because I guess she like worked in the communications area.
Mm-hmm.
The last call she made to her parents was on the morning, July 17, 2005. She told them her outfit, the 129th Corps Support Battalion, would be rotating back to the U.S. in a few months and she should be there for Christmas. She asked them not to decorate the tree without her, as that was, like, her little tradition to do, I think, with her sister.
Damn.
Her mom said nothing seemed wrong with her. They were laughing, and she sounded happy and normal. Lynn asked if she should wake up the rest of the family, talk to Lavina, but she said no. She would just call back later.
Mm. That was the last call?
That was the last phone call from her. 2 days later, at 7:30 in the morning on July 19, 2005, the Johnson family's doorbell rang. It was a soldier who was there to inform John and Linda that morning Lavina had died of self-inflicted wounds. Linda began to scream, and John couldn't believe what he was hearing. For starters, there was no suicide note. He had also just spoken to her the other day, and she seemed to be looking forward to the future. She was turning 20 in just 8 days. She was only 19. She was going to be starting a new job on the base and coming back to the U.S. soon, so this seemed, like, super out of the blue. They had so many questions, but the army was being, like, really vague and not telling them much, and at first, they didn't even say how she supposedly killed herself. And I ran into some confusion here, because in some stories they said how the soldier told them that she killed herself, and other ones say that he kind of implied she did, and they were like, are you telling her that she took her own life? And he was like, what? No, I didn't say that. So,
oh, trying kind to make of confusing. Believe it. Okay.
Yeah, it's... Or maybe he wasn't sure what the Army's cover story was yet, so he was like, yeah. Oh, wait, I'm not totally sure, so let's just say she died.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. Within a couple of days of learning about Lavina's death, a casualty liaison showed up and said they were told to tell the family to have a closed casket.
Aww.
And casualty liaisons, from what I understood, they're just somebody who comes and like helps the family arrange the funeral and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At the funeral home, Lavina's sister walked over to the casket and her father could hear her saying, "They murdered my sister. Did you see her face?" John had examined Lavina's body and saw that she had bruising on her face and appeared to have a broken nose. Her gloves had also been glued to her hands. Underneath the right hand, there was burns. After seeing all of this, John decided, fuck you guys, and he was going to investigate the death himself. So the official investigation by the Army took months, during which they concluded that Lavina had taken her own life by shooting herself in the contractor's tent on the military base where she had been stationed. This actually went against their original report, where they said that her body had been found in her barracks.
Oh, God. See, they're already fucking it up, huh?
Yep. And I read a couple of things. I couldn't confirm this, so take it with a grain of salt or whatever, that initially they were investigating as a homicide, and then somebody just said it was a suicide, and they never spoke about the other investigation again.
Well, I'm sure somebody said it was a homicide once, and then they got shushed right away.
Yep. So, according to the Army's official timeline, at 11:45 p.m. on July 18th, Lavina had left her barracks, walked across the post, and went to an empty and dark contractor's tent. She found a bench to sit on, lit an accelerant and sat it under the bench, and used her right thumb to pull the trigger of her rifle, killing herself on the morning of July 19th, 2005.
What do you mean by she lit an accelerant?
They found, like, burned paper there.
Oh!
And there's also the burns on her hand.
Oh, so they're trying to make us believe that she kind of burned herself before she shot herself.
Yeah, I'll tell you what their theory was in a second, but okay. I'll get to it. So the report included testimony from three witnesses who said Lavina had been depressed over being broken up with from her boyfriend of a few months over email. Took me a second there. The Army says the accelerant found in the tent was from her printing out and burning these emails. The witnesses from before said she had spoken of killing herself, but two of these also said she told them after she was just joking, she'd never take her own life. And when I was like 16 on Twitter, I was saying like KMS after literally everything I said.
Or like having your Tumblr and just emo stuff reposts all the time.
Yeah, mine wasn't even emo. I'd be like, oh, my dad won't buy me McDonald's, killing myself.
Yeah.
Like, teenagers be dramatic.
Yep.
They also reported that she had other signs of depression, such as a change in eating habits. And I gotta give the Army credit here, because this is a huge just sign that someone's about to take their own life. She was eating ice cream every day.
Oh, come on. She's probably on her period.
No, Leah, if you eat ice cream every day, you're suicidal. Didn't you know that?
Shit, I would eat ice cream every day if I wasn't lactose intolerant.
Bro, right? Just like a little reminder for you guys that she was in Iraq, where it gets to be over 100 degrees during the day, and it was fucking July, but ice cream is for suicidal people only. Witness statements and medical records in the reports also said that Lavina had been raped while in the military, and she was being treated for an STD that she received as a result of this attack.
So she reported that?
She didn't. I think she just went to, like, a doctor. She didn't, really report it. She kept this information from her family, probably just to keep them from being upset and not worrying about her.
Yeah.
So, you obviously don't know if someone's going to kill themselves all of the time. Like, they could be acting, like, fucking happy and fine and just be going through stuff and kill themselves. The reason I'm just saying, like, she clearly didn't isn't all of that stuff. No. It's because of, like, the physical stuff. Like, talking about the bruise on her face and the burns on her hand. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that people sometimes put on a facade and they're actually just, like, super depressed.
Yeah.
Been there.
Me.
I was like, pause for Brandy. You look like you're unmuting it to agree. Disclaimer for this paragraph. I watched it all in a video, so it's going to be very long and worded weird.
Okay.
And I was just trying to copy what John said about everything. So he was supposed to receive a phone call from the medical examiner as soon as they had the autopsy results, but didn't receive a call until several days after it had been done. Like, they finished it in late July, and he didn't receive a call from them until August.
Oh.
The autopsy by the U.S. military showed that she had a busted lip, broken teeth, and scratch marks on her neck, but no serious injuries. John was told that it appeared she had taken her own life while under distress. John asked if they'd check if Lavina had been raped, and the examiner said no, they had not done a rape kit. He asked why not, if she'd been so distressed that she had killed herself, and the medical examiner said there didn't appear to be any signs of a struggle.
But she has a busted lip and scratches?
Yeah. Also, side note, people could threaten you when they rape you. You're not always gonna, it's a violent attack, but it's not, you're not always gonna have, signs to show that.
But what I don't understand is you just described physical, bruising and scratches. That seems
well. She probably did like it. A struggle. She probably punched herself in the face.
Yeah, and scratched herself.
Burned her hand.
Yeah, okay.
It gets worse. John next asked how it was possible that Lavina had a bullet hole on the left side of her head when she was right-handed and was told that she had shot herself. I'm sorry, guys. This is graphic. That she had shot herself through the mouth and that was the exit hole. The gun she supposedly used was her own M16 rifle, which John believed was impossible. She was only 5'1", which is 61 inches, and an M16 rifle is 39 inches long, from what I could find online. So that's over half the size of her body, and she somehow reached down with her arm to pull it with her...
Yeah, I bet if they would have did an arm measurement, I don't think it would have reached.
I bet they made sure they didn't have to do an arm measurement. And, I say that it's 39 inches or whatever. I don't know how long, the different parts of the gun are, but it looks fucking long.
Yeah.
I know the trigger wasn't exactly 39 inches, mm-hmm. but I'm just really want to cover all my bases here since yes. we're talking about real people. I don't want anyone to come at me.
Yeah.
So, not to mention, he believed the exit hole was too small to be from a rifle, and he had two ballistic experts that later agreed with that, saying that the wound looked more consistent with coming from a 9mm pistol. I almost said pistol.
I know, I heard.
John demanded to see the results of the investigation, but the Army refused. He had to file Freedom of Information requests and get the help of local legislators for him to be allowed to see all the information they had on his daughter's death. So the reports he finally ended up receiving were black and white, shitty Xerox copies of the original results. Even all the pictures were just fucking printed in black and white and copied.
I've seen the pictures on Google Images and a lot of them are black and white.
Yeah, it's weird. John mentally prepared himself knowing that he was about to see his daughter's crime scene and began to look through the papers. He noticed an image of her body where her right arm was draped over her face almost like she'd been covering it and thought this was a fucking weird way to die. He learned that although the shell casing had been found under her thigh, by the way, don't know how, The bullet that killed her was not found.
It sounds like she was moved, right?
You'll find out. Well, no one really finds. No one finds out, but you'll hear what I think.
One can make assumptions.
In the paperwork, he also randomly found a picture of a CD, which sounds stupid. Like somebody's like, "Oh, you can't fucking take a picture of a CD." But just wait, just wait.
Okay.
We're hoping that the person that put this picture of the CD is on his side, or they're just someone stupid who really did do an accident. He contacted the army, but the CD was, of course, turned down. They said it's because they had to protect the rights of any names and people who may be on it, which is fucking bullshit, because if there's names related to his daughter's death, he has every right to know the fucking names.
Wait, so you're saying that there was a CD lying next to her, or?
No. He didn't know what the CD was. He just saw on the Xerox paper it was just a picture. Like,
oh, like a piece of evidence. And yeah. He's like, what is this?
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know if it was like a picture of the CD or someone like put the CD in the Xerox and got a fucking paper of the Xerox CD.
Gotcha.
So eventually, with the help of others, John was able to get the CD, and on it he found full color photos of Lavina's crime scene and all relevant information about her death. So John has a brother named Joseph who actually has a degree in criminal science. He helped him look over all the information, and they noticed. And they became more and more sure that Lavina had not taken her own life. In color photos, they noticed even more injuries to her bodies. To her body. She had bruises and scratches on her torso, and there even appeared to be teeth marks.
Ew.
She was found fully dressed on her back, but images of her nude body from her autopsy showed there were burns on the right side of her body. And lividity, which is pooling of the blood after death. So, like, if you die on your back, there'd be...
Wait, did she have dual lividity?
Lividity on your back. No, she had lividity on her... On her left side.
Oh, okay. Like, and she died on her left side?
And she was found on her back.
Okay, so that's a sign.
And it's
that
not even... I don't... Correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone can email if I'm wrong. But I think lividity, it's not even immediate. Like, you have to be there for a while.
Yeah.
That's how dual lividity is a thing. They, like, get moved halfway through
the
process.
Yeah, you get moved halfway through, and then blood forms on both sides of your body.
Yeah. So they also found out that chemicals had been poured on Lavina's vaginal area, which they believe was to cover up DNA from her being raped, as well as bruising and lacerations in that area. Yeah, it's gross. In addition, this is kind of what you were saying, there appeared to be a trail of blood leading outside of the tent, which suggested that she'd been dragged into the tent after being killed.
Come on, how obvious is this one?
I know.
This is more obvious than the one I'm going to talk about, and I thought that was fucking
They're
obvious.
All obvious. Oh my god, you guys. This episode's going to be frustrating to listen to. Yeah. I'm sorry. Weird as well is that they saw a rough sketch someone had drawn of the crime scene, and the gun that Lavina supposedly used to kill herself was placed parallel to her body, okay, but on the other side of a cot.
So there was, like, a few feet between the gun and herself.
Yeah, how would the gun get there? It was her body, a cot, and then the gun.
Michelle, it's so obvious. Obviously, she burnt herself, she poured chemicals on her vagina before she punched herself, scratched herself.
Got redressed.
She got redressed, and then she shot herself, but as she shot herself, she threw the gun over the cot. And then she dragged herself.
Yep.
Like, okay.
Yep. So, in 2007, the Johnson family had to make the difficult decision to exhume Lavina's body for a second autopsy. During the second autopsy... Okay. Also, I don't remember if I saw this on a lot of links, so take it with a grain of salt. During the second autopsy, it was found that Lavina's neck was broken and parts of her vagina, tongue, and anus had been removed. Brandy looked up real fast. It's fucking weird. So the family had not been told this previously, and the U.S. military had made no note of removing parts of her body.
What the shit?
I know. I can't think of any reason these were removed except for maybe there was DNA on them.
Uh-huh.
And I think I might have listened on Crime Junkie or somewhere else, but they also said that people theorized that the tongue, part of the tongue could be taken out because maybe that's where the bullet got lodged. And if it's a different kind of bullet than the gun that they said, that would be getting rid of the evidence. So, the family's theory is that Lavina had been raped, beaten, and killed before being moved to the tent, where the killer tried to set her body in the tent on fire, which would explain her back and her hand are burned, but, like, it didn't catch.
Yeah.
So, in 2011, criminal justice students from three universities in a club called Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, CCIRI, I don't know if it has, like, a catchier acronym than that. I'm just going to go with that. But they chose to look into her case. They normally spent a year looking at cases, but for Lavina's, they spent three. Through their investigations, they said they neither agreed nor disagreed with the Army's findings, One of the founders of CCIRI later said in a phone interview that while the Army was at fault for poor communication, she didn't disagree with the Army's conclusion and that they didn't find anything that suggested wrongdoing.
They didn't find anything that suggested wrongdoing?
They're also going up against the Army, so of course they didn't find anything.
Yeah, that's a big boss.
So to this day, Lavina's family still struggles to get her case reopened and find out the truth of what happened to their daughter. John remembers her by pictures that he has to keep in the family's basement and out of sight because it's too hard for Linda to look at them.
Aww.
He also treasures a card he received for Father's Day just a few weeks before her death, where she talked about how proud she was to be compared to her dad. If you guys want to hear more about Lavina's story, there's a documentary that you can find on YouTube. It's called The Silent Truth, and that's where I got a lot of this information. But there are very disturbing images of her body in the crime scene, so please be forewarned, because I was not expecting that. Like, full-color pictures from her autopsy.
Oh, damn.
It's bad. So this episode should be released on July 26th, which means if you're listening to it the day it comes out, Lavina should have been 35 tomorrow.
Aww.
And remember,
aww, that's so sad.
It's really sad. In remembrance of her birthday, I asked if you could sign a petition to have her case reopened. The link's going to be in the episode bio. It's just on change.org. If you don't want to look at our bio for whatever reason, you could just Google it and it's like at the top.
Justice for Lavina.
Exactly. I also want to talk a second about the sexual assault problem in the U.S. military, because it's fucking bad.
I think we said, too, that one of these days we're going to do, like, a military slash
we're probably going to government do cover couple up. Episodes.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So according to a 2011 report, women in the U.S. military have a higher chance of being raped by a fellow soldier than they do of being killed in combat, and one out of three will be raped while serving in the military. As bad as that is, I don't know if you guys knew, but it's one out of five normally, so it just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? As well as this, according to a survey, at least 25% of women in the military have been sexually assaulted, and up to 80% have been sexually harassed. So that one kind of contradicts the one in three, huh? I don't know how old that one is, though. That one might be older. And, like, whenever you listen to all these numbers, too, remember that this is just people who say that it happened to them. There's going to be tons of people who don't say anything.
Yeah, like, we can talk about a recent case, Vanessa Guillen. She didn't want to tell anybody because she was worried what would happen. Look at what happened to her. There was a huge it's not proved, obviously, but it seems like there was a huge cover-up to get her body off of base after she was murdered by a man who she rejected, one of her fucking coworkers, you know? And, yeah, it's just, it happens.
And there were no cameras in that room where she died.
Yeah, it's just another cover-up.
Anyway, nearly half of these victims did not report their attacks because they had heard of other people who went forward and had a negative experience.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, a survey found that 52% of people who did report assaults experienced retaliation, whether it be professional or social. There are even people who report their assaults and later get involuntarily discharged from the Army. In 2013, a Pentagon report found that 5,061 soldiers of all genders reported assault, but of those, only 444 cases went to trial, and only 376 ended in convictions. 376 out of 5,000.
Wow.
I could go on and on about this, because it's just fucking awful. People need to be held accountable for both committing sexual assault and for covering it up or retaliating against survivors. And people who are thinking about enlisting should be told these statistics and warned of what could happen to them from their fellow soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
And
mic drop.
Yeah, mic drop, bitches. All right. Okay.
So I'm going to be talking about the mysterious death of 17-year-old Kendrick Johnson. Since his death, there have been numerous public outcries calling for his case to be reopened. Although he died in January of 2013, it wasn't until 3 years later that the group Anonymous posted a video calling bullshit that his death was accidental. Do you guys know who the group Anonymous is?
Yes, but you can explain.
So they're pretty much, they're referred to as like hacktivists. Like they hack like big government corporations or like higher up officials and then leak a bunch of information pretty much for the greater good of the people. So they're badass. And if you guys have seen V for Vendetta, they wear that mask. So they were calling bullshit that his death was accidental, and instead they claimed that his death was a homicide, and it was rooted completely in racism. And now in 2020, his case is being pushed to the forefront thanks to Black Lives Matter movement. So there is currently a petition on change.org called Justice for Kendrick Johnson with 1.5 million new followers within the last month. If you're a fan of true crime, which if you're listening to our podcast, I'm going to safely assume you are, you most likely already know Kendrick's story. It's one of those cases that seems impossible for it to be an accident. just like Michelle's. But somehow during the investigation, numerous authorities failed to properly investigate all aspects, failing Kendrick and his family. With that said, let me tell you about what happened on January 11, 2013 in Valdosta, Georgia.
Just a heads up, you guys, I just realized that I was not properly recording Brandy's part of this, so it's gonna sound weird at the beginning and slightly better later. So still listen to Brandy. Okay, Leah, go.
I would say significantly better later.
I looked at it and I was like, oh shit. But at least I noticed before it was your turn.
All right, so the day prior, January 10th, was only the second day back to school from winter break for Launis High School. Kendrick had let his mom know he would be home after a basketball game that evening. So, when hours started to pass from the time he should have arrived home, his mom started to become more and more worried.
What time was this again, you said?
Supposedly, it was like a freshman basketball game at like 4 or 5.
Okay.
And so, I think by 7, his mom was getting a little worried, but she kind of chalked it up to maybe he's just hanging out with his friends. You know, he just got back to school from winter break.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom especially became worried because he wasn't one to be late, and the times he had been late before, he was always responsible enough to call home and let them know. So at first, probably around like 8 or 9, she drove to his school and looked around, hoping that maybe Kendrick was just hanging out there with friends. Doing whatever.
Whatever teens do
these days. Yeah, exactly. She discovered the entire campus empty with no sign of her son. No one was there. All the lights in the gym were out. And by midnight, she would call the police to report him missing. The next morning, she went to the school to inform administration that he was missing, and they helped her print out missing person flyers. They also informed his mom that Kendrick had missed the last couple of classes the day before and hadn't shown up to school that morning.
Why didn't they call her? Is that a thing? You're supposed to call parents?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to call the family, but you could also, if it is a big cover-up, which I'm going to allude to later, she could have been in on it, or it could have just been... I want to say, like, racism within the school, like, they don't care enough about the black students, but that could be reach. I mean, that's what Anonymous says, so. To understand Kendrick's case, you have to have a little knowledge of Launis High School physical layout. The school has what students refer to as a new and an old gym. The new gym is where most sporting events would be held, being it is much larger and, of course, newer. The old gym was significantly smaller. Think of like an elementary sized gym, and would be used for sports practices and sometimes as a classroom.
Oh.
Yeah. The old gym was also used heavily as a shortcut to get from one side of campus to the other. So students would constantly walk through the gym hurrying to class, and it was just heavily trafficked. So in the right corner of the old gym were a bunch of rolled up wrestling mats, which before winter break had been lying flat on the ground. But now, some of them were propped up against the wall vertically. And this obviously will be an important fact to know in the next coming paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
It was a well-kept student secret that the wrestling mats would be used as extra storage space. Apparently, the high school would charge the students for a locker, so a lot of kids would just hide their belongings in the mats to save some money.
Who charges students to use fucking lockers?
Apparently, Launis High School in Georgia. So Kendrick was one of the many who used the mats essentially as a locker. Apparently, he and a friend would hide a pair of gym shoes that they would share for their separate gym classes. Like, they'd tuck it into the mat, and then one would grab it and, and then the other would come later in the day for his class.
Okay.
So it wasn't that weird of a thing for them to be around the mat area. At 1:30 p.m. that day, surveillance footage captured Kendrick entering the old gym, and that footage would be the last time he would be seen alive.
Shit.
And that gets crazy. So... I'm going to take you guys back to 10:30 in the morning. Oh, just kidding. I'm going to take you guys forward to the next day.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
So almost two whole days after he went missing.
No, just one day.
Oh.
Yeah, I fucked up. Less than 24 hours later.
Okay.
So, on the 11th at around 10:30 in the morning, several students were waiting around in the old gym for their class called Life Sports to begin. Not exactly sure what that's about, but that's the name of the class. So a few girls were messing around by the gym mats when one spotted what looked to be a sock sticking out from one of the vertical lying mats. Mm. I'm not sure what she was thinking. Maybe she thought it was a prank or somebody had left something. So one of the girls in the group climbed over. They had like a set of mini bleachers. Imagine just like a two stacked bleachers. Mm-hmm. She climbed on top of the second bleacher to get kind of a better view of the mats. And from what she could see, she noticed that it was... feet inside the socks, and then even further
down were legs, so pretty much like a person upside down.
Fuck.
And yeah, she soon realized there was a person there, so she ran over, took out the teacher. And I guess it's reported too that one of the students or the teacher had called 911 when this happened before even knowing like Kendrick's condition.
Mm-hmm.
So the students and teachers tipped the mat to the ground and tried to pull Kendrick out head first. Just because of the way he was like positioned, it would be easier that way.
Couldn't they just unroll the mat?
Yeah, they could have, but I don't know. That's just what they report, and you know, they were panicking. Who knows how you'd react?
How it looks
either. Yeah, exactly. But upon doing so, this smell of decomposition hit them, accompanied by blood and vomit. Yeah, so I feel bad for these kids. Imagine the PTSD. So the realization that the student in the mat was dead hit them all. The school was immediately put into a lockdown, and Kendrick's mom found out at the same time as the rest of school that they had found his body upside down for nearly 21 hours in a wrestling mat. Because remember, she was at the school at the same time in the admin office. Yeah. So his cause of death would be called positional asphyxiation, which occurs when someone's position prevents them from breathing properly. And if you guys have heard anything about positional asphyxiation, it's kind of like freak accidents where it happens. Like, just the way, just Google it. There's some weird ones where, like, people have this man tipped over in a tractor, and the way he was, like, laying upside down, it killed him. And there's also one of this obese woman where she got stuck between the space of the wall and her bed, and then she ended up dying because she, yeah. It's crazy incidents. It's like, if there's no other cause of death they can find, it might be positional asphyxiation. And some doctors don't even think it's a thing, so it's kind of like debated.
But I think I read something about a student a couple of years ago who was like grabbing something from his back seat, and the seat kind of flipped and he got stuck and he asphyxiated.
Oh yeah.
And so, he used Hey Siri to call 911 and they couldn't find his car.
Wow.
So that's why I have Hey Siri activated, even though she never fucking hears me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she always hears me when I'm not trying to talk to her.
I know. I'm like, seriously? And then she's like, what do you want?
Yeah. But yeah, so that pretty much sums up what Michelle said. Like, that's the case of it where you shouldn't die, but, you know, you end up dying because you pretty much suffocate.
Bodies are fragile.
Yeah. So now I have to tell you guys exactly how Kendrick's body and his shoes were found, because it is the most talked about aspect of the entire case. So once pulled from the mat, and I'm pretty sure they unrolled it and then pulled him out, Kendrick was noted to have one arm extended above him and one arm at his waist. The shoes that he had been wearing that day weren't on his feet, but instead rolled up in the mat with him. They were lying directly behind his knees, and based on what I could see in the crime scene photos, they looked neatly tucked in that position. So it's a very strange image. I'm not going to recommend you guys to look at a picture, but if you decide to, it'll kind of make more sense. But just imagine he was upside down and they were just sitting behind his knees, like, kind of nicely placed there, not on his feet. Yeah, like, I mean, if you want to believe that he was murdered, like, the murderers put it there just to save room. So, the next thing we have to talk about is the wrestling mat that Kendrick was discovered in. So, the mat he was found in had an opening diameter of 14 inches, but Kendrick's shoulders measured 19 inches across. So, that's 5 inches of, you know, space that would
have to, like, push your body forward.
Yeah. Or, I was thinking, the position he was found, devil's advocate, that if it was an accident, the position he was found, he had one arm to his head, reaching above him, and then one arm on his waist. So, if you do this, if you squeeze together, you know, there is a possibility. Hard, yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, only possibility, you know? So, yeah, how could someone of that frame squeeze into an opening 5 inches smaller than themselves? I don't know. It seems unlikely. And Kendrick's father obviously thought the same, and being around the same size as him demonstrated to authorities that he couldn't even crawl in no matter how hard he tried. But you also have to imagine, too, that if Kendrick was reaching down trying to grab his shoes, he had gravity on his side. Like, it could have, somehow the gravity could have forced him down to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when his dad is demonstrating it, he's doing it while it's lying horizontally.
Yeah.
So, we don't know actually how the physics of that would work. I mean,
no one's trying to test that out.
Fuck that, yeah. Nobody wanted to test that out. So the gravity, and then plus if he was squeezing, moving his arms together, like pretty much like think of if you're trying on a shirt that doesn't fit your shoulders all the way, but you really want to try it on, or you try it on, you're stuck.
Think of that weird feeling.
Yeah, ooh. Think of that weird little struggle you do with your arms trying to get it off or on.
I feel all my sports mm-hmm. bras.
Yeah.
Because I'm too buff.
Oh, shit. Michelle's got the gains.
Yep.
But, yeah, so that maybe that was enough to get him stuck in the mat, or, you know, maybe somebody rolled him up. I don't know. So, with that possible explanation, now we have to ask ourselves, if it was just an accident, wouldn't someone have heard or seen Kendrick struggling? Being that the old gym is heavily trafficked and several students would walk through at all hours of the school day.
Oh.
Like, constantly. I mean, maybe not constantly, but maybe between periods, but...
And coming and grabbing their stuff if they have to use a mm-hmm. storage.
Yep. If he fell into the mat completely conscious and was aware he was trapped, don't you think he would call for help?
Thank you.
But... This is definitely a big but. It's also possible that maybe he felt too embarrassed to ask for help and thought he might just be able to wiggle his way out.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of people who, like, choke to mm-hmm. death in restaurant bathrooms because they didn't want to yep. say anything. Because
you're too shy or awkward about
it. And I kind of feel like that would
same,
be
me. Same,
and you don't want to freak out about something. Yeah, and then you're make fine, it be a big deal. And then it's, you seem dramatic.
Yeah, and that's
always
why,
freak out.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, too. I think in high school, if this would have happened to me, I'm not sure if I would ask for help either. Because I feel like that would just be so mortifying. Even, like, tripping when you're in high school was, like, fucking embarrassing. So. Yeah. I don't know, though. It's possible, but after long enough of being in the mat, if he didn't call out for help and he thought he could get out, he must have lost consciousness and then died of the asphyxia. So, once Kendrick was pulled from the mat, his face was extremely swollen and unrecognizable.
Oh, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah.
On accident.
So, this could have just been because he was upside down for so long, like 21 hours, and the blood had just rushed to his head. Or it could mean something more sinister, such as if people say maybe he was beat up, punched, black eyes. It's hard to say, though, because I obviously don't know too much about how much a body would look if it's upside down for that long. Thank God. So I don't know. You have to take it with a grain of salt.
I don't know what it
would
look like either, but it looked like he was beat up.
Which picture did you see?
Zoomed in on his face all swollen. I don't know.
Okay, I'll get to something about
you don't need
the
to pull up
release.
The picture.
No. So, police requested that any surveillance footage that might be related to Kendrick from the day of his death be sent directly to them. Interestingly enough, instead of just sending the raw files right away, the school was allowed a few days for an IT employee to collect the footage before sending it in.
Okay.
Not a day, a few days.
Why?
Who
were they busy
knows?
With other stuff?
Michelle, it seems like this would be the most pressing case. Am I wrong? Like,
no.
It seems like that would be his first responsibility, but...
Nah.
Yeah. So... In the very far corner where the mats were placed was actually only 50% visible from the cameras. So Kendrick, after he enters the gym, he sort of just disappears off camera on the footage. A few minutes later, a group of students walks through the gym and walks right out the other side, just like they were traveling through. It can be assumed that if Kendrick had fallen into the mat by this time, the students probably would have taken notice. They might have heard or seen something that would indicate a struggle.
Yeah.
So... CNN ends up getting their hands on the surveillance footage from all four cameras and hires a professional video surveillance team to examine the tapes. They conclude that the footage had been altered in a number of different ways. It was not the raw footage, but more like pieces of it. They also said that there was at least an hour unaccounted for on each of the four cameras. Like, midday.
Did they get this footage from the school or from the police department?
They got it from the police, so the school sent it into the police, and they were able to get, like, a lawsuit.
So
the family got
either,
a lawsuit, and then CNN got
either
the
of those
footage.
Two could have fucked with it.
Yeah.
The school and the police department.
I want to believe, though, that the school already had edited parts of it, just based on, like, the police report. So
well, I heard that they're... People weren't trusting the police in this one either.
Yeah, you'll see why.
It's all of it. Maybe fucking both of them edited
yeah.
it down.
But, so, obviously, the people analyzing the tapes, they found it odd that each one was missing at least an hour, being that the cameras were motion activated. They would generally stay on from sunrise to sunset, also given it was a normal school day and the students would be passing by frequently. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, an unusual gap of time on all four cameras, which... I mean, it obviously seems very suspect, but shit, maybe not. I don't know. After the school was put on lockdown following Kendrick's discovery, it would take another 6 hours until the coroner's office was called. 6 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So one might be thinking, shouldn't they be called right away once police confirm it's a dead body?
Yes.
Yes, you're correct. But for whatever reason, I'm not sure what went on within these 6 hours. The police arrived. I'm not sure who else was there. Administration, I'm sure. It took them 6 hours for the coroner to be called.
Jeez.
Yeah. So after that, the coroner's report took 24 hours to return. And in the end, it was ruled accidental death by suffocation. As you guys know, because I already told you. Mm-hmm. After that, the authorities closed the case. But Kendrick's parents knew the circumstances were too bizarre to just be chalked up to a freak accident. And, I mean, anyone who is familiar with the story, they'd be like, what the fuck, you're going to close that case? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Without, and they didn't even, like, interview, like, any of the students. They didn't interview the ones that walked through at that same time after he entered, nothing.
That's stupid.
And even there, I didn't mention this in here in what I wrote down, but there was even dried blood on different, like, a couple different places. There was one in, like, the girls' locker room, and then there was one somewhere else near the mats, and then they were like, oh, no, that blood's, like, too old, and they didn't even have it tested. They just had it tested against Kendrick's. That's it. And they're like, oh, it's not his. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're looking to see if it's the fucking murderer's mm-hmm. blood.
Exactly. So, as I said, there are holes in the investigation that definitely they could have executed it better, but they didn't. So, his family ends up hiring a private pathologist to perform a second autopsy. His body had already been buried by this time, so, unfortunately, his parents had to have him exhumed. Right away, the pathologist was shocked to find that all of Kendrick's internal organs were missing. And in place, his body was stuffed with crunched up newspaper. If you're wondering how crazy that is, it's actually not the craziest thing, and I'll explain why. So the parents immediately got in touch with the funeral home who was in charge of processing the body. They tell his parents that when he came, his organs were already missing, presumably from the initial autopsy. They only filled his body with newspaper to pack the empty cavities. That's pretty standard. That's a pretty standard practice. However, usually people use cotton.
I was going to say, I know it's normal to stuff when something happens, but you don't use newspaper.
Yeah. So, yes, exactly. The funeral home actually had offered their services for free to Kendrick's parents. So maybe they were cutting costs in doing this. Obviously, like, they didn't expect there to be a second autopsy. So they had him stuffed with newspaper. And what bothered me about this, too, is I could never find anything on what happened to his organs.
They lost them.
They might have.
No, if I remember what I read, they, like, took them out and they're like, oh, let's put this blah, blah, blah. And they just fucking lost them.
Mm-hmm.
They just lost somebody's organs.
Yeah, it's not the first time that's happened. I think there was an episode where I said they lost some of the organs.
I think they lost something. But it's not very common to just lose entire things.
Yeah.
That kind of happened to mine, too, where she was missing parts of her body.
Mm-hmm. You would think they would keep better tabs on it, but apparently not.
Nope. Or they got rid of it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I know I think there's a common misconception that I see a lot of people talking about his case, and they think that he was found without any organs. It wasn't that. It was during the second autopsy. It's confirmed they got removed during the first, but mm-hmm. they did go missing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that, too. That was something that popped up in the news a lot, and then it was completely wrong.
I know. I keep seeing it on Twitter and Instagram, yeah. mm-hmm. and I'm like, actually, you guys, like, you got it wrong.
Research, guys. Yep.
It's still a really weird thing that happened, mm-hmm. but not quite as weird.
Yeah, not quite as weird as him being found without them.
Yeah.
Definitely. So the family decided to proceed on the second autopsy, even though it might be limited by his organs missing. Obviously, they couldn't test them.
They couldn't do fucking shit without the organs.
They can test the biggest organ on his body, skin.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm. So the second autopsy found a small bruise on the back of Kendrick's head, kind of on his neck area where his head and his neck meet.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a word for that area, but I'm fucking dumb and I don't know. So the medical examiner claimed that blunt force trauma to this area was actually the cause of his death, which is obviously... I didn't know
that was a confirmed thing.
I mean, the second pathologist confirmed it was.
Oh, shit.
And there would eventually be a third, but we'll get there. Okay. We'll confirm the same thing.
I didn't hear everything about mm-hmm. this
then. In regards to who killed Kendrick Johnson, there have been two names that have continuously popped up year after year. And that is of Brian and Brandon Bell.
Brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently, Kendrick had complained to his mother that the brothers harassed and bullied him frequently.
Mm-hmm.
That same school year. When asked about it, Brandon and Brian said it wasn't true, and they actually really liked Kendrick and got along with him. Which, I mean, dumb on their part. Like, if they did something, like, at least, I don't know, at least, be like, oh, yeah, we didn't get along, but, you know, I wouldn't do anything to him. They're like, you know, we're friends. Okay.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's rumored that Kendrick and Brandon had lingering tension because they had a similar love interest. But I'm not exactly sure if Brandon was dating the girl and maybe Kendrick was, like, talking to her or vice versa, how that sort of worked out. But they had, like, tension from having similar love interests. That's all I know. Some girl.
Yeah.
So, Ebony Magazine published an article, not naming names, but insinuating. Oh, I even wrote out the pronunciation. Okay, insinuating that the brothers had something to do with Kendrick's death and ended up being hit with a $5 million lawsuit by the Bell family.
I guess that's why maybe we shouldn't say names. They're above age now.
They're above age now.
We're not saying for sure they did it.
We're just saying, that's insinuating, Michelle. We're just saying that this is the name that when I was doing research, they continuously got brought up, and I'm just reporting the facts of what I heard. I'm not saying they did it. I'm not saying they didn't do it. We don't know. I'm just reporting some fucking facts here.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink. So the family actually ends up winning the lawsuit for $5 million against the magazine.
Of course.
Yep. And on top of that, by this point, the boys are actually advised to not speak to investigators. So trying to get any useful information out of them becomes literally hopeless.
Stupid as fuck.
And I also waited till the end to drop one last bombshell on you. Michelle, I think you already know this, but Brandon and Brian Bell's father was actually an FBI agent at the time of Kendrick's death.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, coincidence? Maybe. I'll let you decide.
No.
That's a pretty powerful man. We all know that cover-ups happen more than we like to believe amongst government officials, law enforcement, and the military, as I think we can agree in Michelle's case, that was definitely a cover-up. Yeah, but I think they happen more than we want to believe. There's only a few cases that we've been able to realize what's happening. And I want to believe, I mean, should it be
insinuating?
Oh my god, why do I struggle with that word?
It's a very easy word.
I shouldn't be insinuating it, but, I mean, if they have something to do with Kendrick's death, their father definitely was at a position of power where he could shut a lot of people up, threaten a lot of people.
Get $5 million in the process by suing a magazine.
I know, crazy. And there also was supposedly a third autopsy that was done by another pathologist who determined the cause of death to be the same, like blunt force trauma to the back of his head. I'm not sure where it came about. Like, I was reading some Reddit threads, so take this with a grain of salt. But some people believe that the brothers had pretty much came and harassed Kendrick, and as he was walking away, one of them hit him with the dumbbell, which would explain why the mark was so small. And just because you're hit with something, like, you know, blunt, doesn't mean you're always going to bleed. Like, it could just cause enough bruising, like, if they hit your head. Bleeding. Yeah, internal bleeding. Like, I'm sure he had fucking brain bleeds and stuff. So, I mean, there's two pathologists that confirmed that was the cause of death. And the first one that probably the police or the school hired, they said that it was suffocation, so I don't know, cover up maybe, I don't know.
Question real quick, you said that, I don't want to talk about this, but I need to ask, you said that there was also puke in the thing too?
Yeah, I never saw that mentioned again, except I think, okay, I saw it mentioned a few times. I want to say that he had, I don't know, they just said they smelled puke.
I was going to say, that means if they did hit him and roll him up, he was still alive and conscious enough to...
I did not think about that.
That's what I thought of immediately whenever you said, because I've heard the dumbbell theory as well.
Oh, that's so oh my god, dude. That fucks me up. I did not think about that. Wow. This case just became so much more sad if that is true, because
hopefully the puke thing wasn't true.
That could make sense, though, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But take that with a grain of salt. Whoa. Why am I struggling? Assault. Yeah, take that with a grain of assault. No, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not sure my source on that one or how completely accurate it is, so I can't verify it, but, you know, if that was true, then, you know, Michelle's unfortunate. Yeah. That's bad. That's sad. So, in case you didn't notice by now, I obviously believe that his death was not an accident, but that he was murdered. I'm not gonna say by who, but you guys might have an idea.
But there's some brothers we just mentioned.
Yep.
But we also won't get sued, so we won't outright say it.
So that's just my opinion based on the research I've done. And I'm not going to lie, I did a lot of research on this. I listened to a lot of different podcasts, looked at a lot of credible sources. I mean, it's hard to ignore some of the facts, but it also, I can definitely see people who think that if it was an accident, I can understand their point of view. There's just some outliers in the case that make me think that it was a murder, so.
I would think it was an accident maybe if it wasn't for the shoes tucked behind the knees mm-hmm. and the edited video footage.
Yeah, and I also think the second autopsy is like, how did the original pathologist not see that? Unless he didn't want to see it.
Unless it must have been fucking microscopic.
And also, you have to realize that since all of the organs were missing, that included his brain, that there was any brain swelling, bleeding, it completely removes any evidence of that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think I just convinced myself even more that he was murdered. And I don't want to say cool, but the interesting thing about mysteries is there could be a million different answers to the question.
Cool.
fascinating. Like, that's why people are so interested in, like, mysterious deaths and some true crimes is there could be a million different answers. And we're all kind of entitled to believe our own thing. And that's why a lot of people like conspiracy theories, too. And obviously, I wanted to mention that we're going to be including a petition to have Kendrick Johnson's case reopened through, I think I said, change.org, and we're going to attach it in either the description or we'll post it on Instagram for you guys to sign, because his family definitely needs justice. And even if it was an accident, like, I think they should have it reopened to
It's not open right now. Let's put that through. They just ruled it. It's still ruled an accident.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So they want to, a lot of people are calling for it to be reopened. And yeah, the family just, I mean, if it was an accident, they need proof of that. And if it wasn't, which it wasn't, they need to obviously go after the people who took his life.
Yes.
So, yes, that is all for me.
Okay. Brandel?
All right. So I'm going to talk about the suspicious death of Tamla Horsford. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right, too.
That's how I imagine it when I read it.
Horsford.
Mm-hmm. Brandy's been drinking.
Tamla Horsford was a 40-year-old mother of five boys and lived in Cumming, Georgia. On November 3rd, 2018, she attended a girls' night / sleepover at her friend and fellow football mom's house, Jean Mayer's. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Or Myers. Well, anyways, they knew each other because their kids played for the same football team. So Jean had invited Tamla and other friends over to celebrate her 45th birthday and watch the LSU football game, which she was a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she decided to make it like a sleepover so they could like drink and party and not worry about driving and like calling an Uber, you know, just party.
That sounds fun.
Hard. You know, kind of like I'm doing right now.
Yeah, alone.
I'm just kidding. So on November 4th, 2018, at 8:59 a.m., police received a call about an unresponsive female at a Cumming residence. My sheriff's deputy...
Are you sure drinking before this was a good idea, Brandy?
No. I definitely feel more confident, even though I'm, like, slurring my words.
But you're saying it confidently. That's all that matters.
All right. So when sheriff's deputies arrived, they found Tamla Horsford dead in the backyard.
Brandy, why did you sound so excited about that?
I'm not. It's sad.
The way you... I think it's the alcohol. You're, like, dead.
Anyways... There are varying accounts of how her hands were positioned. I read in some, like, articles that her hands were straight against her body. Like, kind of like planking position, almost.
Okay.
In other articles, I found that, like, they said that her arms were all sprawled out, like...
Spread eagle kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was found on her stomach with her feet pointing back towards the house. Is that, like... Makes sense?
Yeah.
Medical examiner report lists she had severe injuries of the head, neck, and torso. Several superficial abrasions, including on the forehead, above the left eyelid, bridge of the nose, the right temple, and chin. Other injuries include a laceration to the heart, a fractured second vertebrae, and a dislocated wrist. In the initial reports, investigators believe she fell from the ground level. So, like, they were just saying that she, like, tripped and fell.
And died?
Basically.
But then
they, like, the way the body was positioned and, like, the injuries she had, they were like, nah, she fell from the balcony.
Okay.
But, I'm gonna get a little sidetracked right now and just give you a little more background on, like, when they were investigating.
Okay.
I actually found, like, a whole-ass transcript between a detective and Jean. And it's just crazy. Like, it's super sketch the way she tells it.
And Jean was the woman hosting it, right?
Yeah, she was the one hosting it.
Okay.
And it's, like, super sketch, like, when you think about it, because she Tamla was actually the only black person there.
Okay.
Well, basically, she was just saying how, you know, it was for her birthday, so Tamla, like, it brought, like, a really nice, like, bottle of tequila and was like, oh, you know, this is your present. But I guess everyone was like, oh, no, we don't drink tequila. So she was, like, drinking the tequila by herself, so they kind of made her look like she was going crazy by herself.
That's stupid. Then, the whole point of it's just a party.
And they were also saying how that she liked that good kush.
Okay.
Weed. And that, like, she was just
marijuana.
Talking about herself, too. Yeah.
Like, in case any of our listeners don't know what good kush is.
Thank you, I forgot that.
It's okay.
I just assumed.
Yeah, some of them might not be as tainted as we are.
True. Alright, now I'm gonna go back to my notes.
Yes.
After the investigators and the ME sat down together, they agreed that her injuries and ultimate death were made from falling from the balcony of the home.
Okay.
The ME ruled that the injuries were consistent with that of a fall, which I totally disagree with. So that ME put the official cause of death as multiple blunt force injuries and ruled it an accident.
Okay, but how the fuck would she fall off the balcony?
Basically, they said that she, like, went out for a smoke. It was, like, I think, like, 1 something in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And she was just too drunk and, like, fell over. That's basically, like, their argument.
Even if she fell, would she fall so perfectly that her feet were still pointing at the house?
Yeah, that's what's sketchy. Like, and it just gets even more sketchy.
Okay.
But the family's attorney also stated that the lack of evidence, types of injuries discovered, and the mismatch witnesses' accounts strongly suggest homicide. So there were a total of 10 people there. It was Jean, the host, her boyfriend, 7 of her other friends, and, like, some of their partners.
Okay.
So, I guess Jean's aunt lived there, too, and she had this habit of going outside early in the morning to, like, check out the weather, you know? I don't know.
An eccentric aunt.
I don't know, but I guess, like, from her account, she said she went outside and found Tamla at 7:30 in the morning, but she thought she was tripping and seeing things, so she actually went back inside and just, like, splashed her face with water and just started praying.
What?
Exactly. Okay. It's just like, what?
That sounds fake, like, as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck were you on that you thought you were tripping, that you saw a body?
Better go rinse off my face and pray. What the fuck?
Exactly.
Dude.
But then I guess she ended up going back outside and, like, real, like, shit, like, you know, it's real.
This is a person.
So this is all like the information I got from Jean's, like, interview.
Okay.
And she was saying how her aunt, like, went to go wake up Jean, and then she's like, I need Jose, which was her boyfriend. And
Jean's,
like,
boyfriend?
They all went. So he, like, put on some shorts and he went downstairs and he was, like, yelling up to Jean, like, give me your phone, like, call 911. And I found, like, so basically Jean, like, gave her phone to Jose, and he was the one that actually called. And, like, I guess he didn't want to, like, move her body, but, like, I guess while he was on the phone with 911, he mentioned, like, a small cut on her wrist. And, like, he said, like, oh, maybe that's, like, self-inflicted.
What?
Yeah, it's all sketch. And then says a woman's voice can also be heard on the call, speculating that she might have fallen from the balcony. So it's just all sketch. You know?
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
Super weird.
It's like they're all playing into the dialogue that she potentially killed herself when, you know, they don't, the people haven't even arrived on scene yet.
Basically, they said that she was, like, super drunk, like, that she couldn't even function, and that she went outside for a smoke and just, like, fell. But I was, like, literally talking to my mom about this, and I'm like, if you were drunk and you fell, wouldn't that, like, kind of, like, maybe you would just break a bone, but you wouldn't fucking die.
Yeah, or if you did die, you wouldn't, I feel like you wouldn't land like that, like, in a planking position.
For real?
That seems, like, super, if it did happen, unlikely as fuck.
Yeah, super.
How, sorry, how big was the cut that they found on her arm? Was it small?
Well, it was from her, because she broke her wrist. It was a broken wrist. So I guess it just looked like a cut.
Oh, that's, I wish I didn't ask. Sorry, oh, wow.
A little graphic.
Oh my god.
Okay, but it even gets even more sketch.
Okay.
So, Jean's boyfriend, Jose Barrera, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Sounded
but
perfect.
He was actually, he was actually a former probation officer for the Forsyth County Court, and he lost his job for the improper use of the county database. So, basically, like, he was caught trying to look into the reports and stuff that they had on Tamla's case.
What the fuck?
So it's, like, even more sketch. Like, why the fuck are you, like, trying to look into it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you didn't, if it was truly an accident, why would you be curious?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he ended up losing his job over that.
Did no, like, detectives talk to him and be like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. He was just like, oh, you know, I was just curious.
Bitch, you were there. What are you wondering?
No, like, he was curious on what they had on her case.
Oh, curious to see if they were looking at him, probably.
Well, before I get to the most recent stuff, I just wanted to share, like, a funny little side story.
Okay.
Of, I guess there was, like, a Facebook group of, like, local people that, like, lived around Jean and, like, all the other, like, friends. And, she would basically, like, post on this Facebook, like, on Facebook pretty much just, you know, like, bad-mouthing them, like, calling them murderers and shit like that. So Jean and her other friends basically, like, tried to sue her for irreparable damage to their character, reputation, and business as a result of the statements made by that person.
Oh, shit.
And I just thought it was hilarious that they were, like, wild and, you know, like, oh my god, this person is talking bad about me, let me sue them type thing.
It's like the, in Leah's story, those two brothers, they sued someone too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's pretty much exactly like that.
If you're suing someone like that, you're gonna look a little suspicious.
But, the person that they were trying to sue, like, they, dismissed the case. They were like,
oh shit,
you're tripping.
That's actually pretty funny.
I know, I was like, Alright, now more to the more recent shit.
Alright.
So basically with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, it kind of, like, her story got sparked again. Because, like, it even, I think I saw that 50 Cent and T.I., like, even were posting about it.
Oh, really?
So it's, like, yeah, it was, like, gaining traction again, I guess.
Good.
And so on June 12, 2020, the Forsyth County Sheriff, Ron Friedman, sent a letter requesting that the case be reopened and investigated by GBI, which is an independent law enforcement agency, aka Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
Okay.
So they pretty much, like, were just stating how her injuries are, what do you say?
Inconsistent?
Yeah, they're inconsistent. They're more consistent with, like, a self-defense than, like, a fall.
Oh, fuck.
So that's what they were arguing, and on June 18th, 2020, the GBI agreed to reopen the case, but did not specify when the investigation would begin.
Hopefully immediately.
I mean, yeah, I mean, June 18th, that was, what, a month ago?
Yeah,
I'm hoping, little, like, they started, but, like, I'm glad that it got opened up again, like.
Me too, I forgot.
Super sketch.
It is.
If you guys made it this far in the podcast, I We didn't say it before, but we were low-key scheming. This is another surprise Black Lives Matter episode.
We didn't realize until after we chose everyone. Mm-hmm. I think that's also very telling that all these cases mm-hmm. of Black people were not investigated thoroughly and just closed off as an accident or suicide almost immediately.
Surprise, though.
Yeah.
Well said, Brandy. What does Tamla's family think?
They obviously don't think that she died like that, because she had five boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she was a very, like, involved and loving mother.
That's sad.
And also, like, I forgot to mention that Jean, in her interview, was saying how, like, she was just trying to get everyone to party with her.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I guess they were saying that she was, like, way too drunk, and they were even trying to, like, send her home.
That makes me annoyed. They sound like bullies. They're like, come over and party with us, but also don't party too much.
Mm-mm. Right?
I don't like that.
Yeah, they were pretty much saying how she was, like super drunk, and they wanted to send her home, and she was like, no, like, you know, I live with, like, all boys. Like, it's nice to have a girls' night type thing.
That makes me really fucking sad. She just wanted to have a girls' night with her friends, and she died.
Yeah, Jean was actually, like, the only person she actually knew, and, like, a few other people.
Oh,
but, like, most of the people there, she actually didn't even know.
Oh, shit.
They were Jean friends.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Also, there was
that
one...
That changes things.
That does change things.
There was also one thing that I remember hearing about in something I listened to about Tamla, and I just Googled it to confirm. There was also Xanax found in her system, and it was believed that some of the other women did Xanax as well. I don't know if that makes a difference in anything, but...
Xanax, when you mix it with alcohol, makes you black out.
Exactly. And I'm saying, like, I'm going to assume that the other women, at least a couple of them, had done it with her. And if that's the case, like, if they were trying to kick her out when she was super fucked up, like, did they not try to kick the other friends out, too? Or was she just the one exception?
There were some of them smoking weed and drinking her tequila, too, and they
There was also, like, somebody said, like, somebody else was, like, doing coke. I still don't understand how you can fall from, like, the balcony and die, like, unless you snap your neck on the way down or something. I don't know.
Well, if you guys...
Astronauts should fall perfectly unless...
No. But if you look at pictures of the balcony, it's like a two-story house. Like, I mean, it's like if you looked outside, Michelle, and it's, I mean, yeah, if you fell off of it and you landed on concrete or something, I believe it was grass below, though.
And the way they made it seem like she fell, it makes it sound like she was unconscious or something.
Yeah, and if you were to fall off of a balcony, I think instinctively. Yeah, I think you would reach out with, like, your hands and try to catch yourself.
That's what I was thinking. That's why it sounds like she was unconscious.
No matter how fucked up you were, unless you were actually unconscious. So
yeah, you'd raise your hands. You wouldn't be, like, in a planking position.
In a protective position to cover your head.
It probably could kill you if you land, like, face first, like she did. But
if you were unconscious.
Yeah.
But that wasn't supposed to be the case. Apparently, she went off with a cigarette, so.
Well, what's also weird is how she had on her heart.
That, like,
wait, she had what?
Pretty much a cut on her heart.
What the fuck?
Which is, like, how the fuck, like, I feel like the only, I mean, I'm no expert, but I'm talking to my mom, and she says, like, the only way that can happen is, like, or maybe not the only way, but, like, if you break a rib and it, like, punctures your heart.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Yeah, because there wasn't any cuts on the outside right there, right? Like, not like someone stabbed her or anything. It was all internal?
Yeah, it was all internal. Oh, she just had cuts, like, on her face and, like, hands and, like, actually part of her lower legs, too.
That all sounds very, like, she was defending herself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fucking weird. Who do people think did it? Like, the girl that hosted the party or one of her friends? Or the boyfriend?
They think the boyfriend, definitely, and, like, they think, that they all, I think that they all, like, kind of ganged up on it.
That's really sad.
Wait, also, I'm reading about it as we speak. just to further emphasize, when she fell and landed, you know, face down, it's saying that they thought it was very strange that her face hadn't, like, tilted to one side or the other. It was fucking, like, literally face down. Like, she landed right on her face.
Brandy, what was the cause of death again?
Multiple blunt force injuries.
So, all over her body?
That was the cause of death.
Yeah.
And then it was ruled an accident.
Mm. Does she for sure even fall off the balcony? Like, are they even consistent with that? Because it sounds like she's fucking laid out perfectly.
It does sound like that, but that's what the ME says. She said it was consistent with the fall.
Or she fell and they, like, posed her body before they got there or something. It sounds fucking weird. Like, Leah said her face was straight. You said her arms were by her side. She was, like, looked like she was planking. Like, she... It sounds, like, too perfect of a fall. Like, there was no movement happening while she was falling.
And if she... Say she is unconscious and falls. If you're unconscious, then you'd be unconscious on the ground. How is it that between the time that she supposedly jumped off, she was unconscious as she fell? And then just landed on her face and with her arms on her side. Like, it doesn't make sense.
People think...
It doesn't make sense, too. Because no. They said she went out for a smoke. Like, don't you think they would have found, like...
Yeah, she would have been coherent at least then.
Near her body.
Mm-hmm. I know the one thing I read said that, like, maybe she was, like, sitting on the side of the balcony while smoking. And I'm like, but how would you fall like that?
Yep, she would have landed completely differently.
She's landing and she's like, oh.
If you fell... If you were sitting on, like, on the side, you would fall and, like, break your leg, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even if you died, I feel like you'd be on, like, your side.
Yeah.
The fact that she was, like, laid out perfectly straight is the craziest fucking part to me.
That's the part. Like, there's some of the witnesses say that she was, like, sprawled out, and then the other ones say that she was, like, blanky.
Yeah.
You know, with her hands down.
But either way, it's like,
which was it?
Either way, it doesn't sound like her arms were under her, like she was trying to stop the fall. Or, like Leah said, her face was down.
Yeah.
It sounds like she was unconscious and fell and, like, someone moved her or something. Well, I guess we won't have to include a petition link for Brandy's because the petition worked. It's already reopened.
Oh, really?
Leah did not hear any of you saying it's reopened, Brandy.
Do you want to know what I was doing? Do you want to know what I was doing right now?
About it, then.
No.
I know. Brandy's talking about it and you're like, let me Google it.
Look at, no joke, I just signed the petition for it to be reopened.
Oh, well, it got reopened.
Hell
yeah. That's for the FBI to handle it rather than the police department. Never mind, there is still a petition to have the FBI do it instead of the police department.
Okay, yeah. Well, I signed that one. We'll include the links. Don't worry.
There is a petition. I take it back. Thank you guys for listening. This is probably going to be a longer, darker episode. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of details for, especially, that has to deal with somebody actually getting murdered or mysterious death, I mean. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of details that, you know, you kind of can't skip out on in respect to, like, the family and everything. Oh, yeah. Like, you want to present all the facts. So that's why it's a long episode.
Disclaimers. I was scared I'd get something wrong and I'd feel bad because, like, she's a real person. It's not just, like, a haunted house. We'll be coming at you with haunted stuff next week, taking a break from the desk.
Yeah. Yep.
And a different special shout out to me and Leah's friend Emily, because we talked about exorcisms last week and we mentioned the exorcism of Emily Rose, and Leah did not mention her best friend whose name is Emily Rose. And I received a Snapchat about that. She was upset.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm sorry, Emily.
So shout out to Emily Rose.
Shout out to Emily Rose.
Brandy's just like, whatever.
The second, Emily Rose.
She's in Hawaii.
She's one
shout out to Emily.
Hey, she's one of our listeners. Finally.
Finally.
I appreciate it, took like you listening.
Oh, also shout
out to meet you one day.
Also shout out to one of my other friends that I didn't know randomly was hanging out with her the other day. She's like, oh yeah, I love your guys' podcast. And I was like, what? You listen? Shout out to Vicky.
Yeah.
If you listen to this one, if you made it to this far in the episode, shouts out to you, girl.
If you want to email us, it's talesgroundpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you again, Jennifer, for the email. If you want to look at our website, it's talesgroundpodcast.com. If you want to follow our Instagram, it's talesgroundpodcast. Our Twitter is spooky_beyond. You guys can, like, kind of tell that I was forgetting the names of everything with those pauses in between.
It's okay. I don't know any of them, to be honest. So,
yeah.
Doing better than me.
But yeah, hit us up if you have any episode ideas, constructive criticism, don't do that. Tell us how cool we are. And talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios.